Praise the Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Well, last Wednesday night I talked about confession. I want to talk about profession tonight. You know, we need to continually profess by faith what God's Word tells us to do. You know, you got to do something continually if it's going to come to pass. Now, let's look at this word. Let's look at the word profession. It's a step further than confession. Have you ever heard of somebody that's a professional? Huh? Yeah. That is someone who is continually doing certain things for a living. That's their lifestyle. You know, doctors, policemen, attorneys, farmers, so forth. You can confess that you're a farmer all you want to, but if you've not actually raised a crop, you're not a farmer by profession. Right? And you know, there's a lot of people that are making some confessions, but they're not professions. They're not professional in speaking the word. Actually, your profession speaks of your lifestyle. Our lifestyle are to be living and doing what the Word of God told us to do. You cannot possess or accomplish, maybe I should say, much of anything if you've got 1 foot over here and 1 foot over here. You can't be distracted. You know, one person said, the old proverb really, if you chase two rabbits at the same time, both of them get away. In other words, you got to concentrate on one. You know, our lifestyle has to be consistent with God's word if we're going to possess the promises of God. Profession includes action. Now, everybody wants to confess, make confessions, and you know, and it's great, and we need to confess what the Word of God says, but we need profession, which is action. The first action we should take, based upon the Word, is to make a confession of faith. We must also have a lifestyle and our actions in accordance with the Word of God. In other words, I want to say it like this. Our words and our action must be consistent if we're going to receive what God wants us to have. Our words and our actions. Some of you guys played football, basketball, baseball in high school, some of you in college, right? How many of you? Have you ever come up and said, they can talk a good game or they can confess, you know, all this stuff, but they never put any action to it? Anybody ever run into anybody like that? Sometimes you got them on your team. They talk about how good they are and how this, that, and the other, but they never produce. They never process anything. You know, too many Christians have what I call Christian moments. Long as everything's going good, they're not confessing or professing anything. And then they have a problem, and immediately they start confessing the word and start professing the word and doing what they're supposed to be doing all the time. You see, it's all the time, not just when, it's not just a panic time. It's not just when you get in trouble. You ever read in the Old Testament about the children of Israel? Did you ever notice them? Anybody? Are y'all there? Or y'all gone home already? Okay. I wasn't hearing anybody there. You ever notice everything's going good and fine, and then they hit a problem, and then they start calling out to God? But you see, they weren't continuing the lifestyle until they had a problem, and then they would start the profession or doing what they're supposed to do to receive the promises. Hello. Action. Our words and our actions must be consistent or in line with one another. You can talk about the word all you want to, but if you're not living the word, nothing is going to happen. That's, you know, James 1:5. I'm going to read out of the NIV on this one. James 1:5. Now, most people don't like to go read James because James can get pretty tough on you. But here, James 1:5. If any man lacks wisdom, he should ask God, and there it is, I finally see it, who gives generously to all without finding fault, and it will be given him. But when he asks, he must believe and not doubt, because he who doubts is like a wave of the sea blown and tossed by the wind. The man should not think he will receive anything from the Lord. If he is a double-minded man or person, unstable in all he does. You see, it's saying here, you can ask the Lord, but if you are not living in line and consistently with what the word says, you don't expect to receive anything. You can't afford to be inconsistent. I'm talking about constantly speaking God's word and living God's word. Profession. Your profession is, you confess the word, but your profession is you live the word. Hey, you know, you can talk about and confess about how fast you can run or how good you can play a certain sport, but until you actually do it, nothing happens, right? Now, I can talk about how fast I was in high school as I ran track, but you go over there in my office. In fact, I was just showing somebody, Brother Tad was over there, and I got a deal on there. It's got a star. It's got CBA, Canterville Bible Academy, and it says, inducted into the Canterville Bible Academy Hall of Fame. Well, not only did I talk about running, I can prove by profession that I did it. How many understand what I'm saying? See, you got confession, profession, and possession. Now, everybody likes the confession part, and everybody likes the possession part, but the profession part is where you're actually doing it. You're living the words, in other words. You're doing what the word says. Now, I did not get inducted into the Canterbury Bible Academy Hall of Fame because I talked about running or because I put on track shoes. I went out there and I worked hard on that track. And we ran in the state track meet then in 57. I am talking, hey, and you had to be consistent. I was there every day. We had some of the guys, they were there, but they weren't. They were just out there. There's a lot of people that are here confessing the word, but that's all there is to it. They're not putting any action. They're not living in line. They're not professing what they're confessing. Anybody understand what I'm trying to say to you tonight? See, I'm talking about consistently speaking, confessing the word, and then professing the word. You know, when storms come and the pressure's on, you find out whether you're really there or not. You know, a lot of people, my grandson and his wife, they live right out there in Coweta. They call me, "Poppy, pray." I said, "I've already been praying." And anybody Tuesday night having to, you've been confessing, but now you having to profess, you having to live it. Anybody? It was where I live, south of us, down by, I'm watching the television, and down by Leonard, south other side of Bigsby over there. You know, well, that's not too far from where I, and that's not, you know, a few miles, but it's not far. But you see, I mean, people were confessing the word, but they were also professing, doing the action that is necessary. See, some people don't want to take that necessary action. I confess in the word, but I also was taking the necessary actions in the natural. Come on. You see, there's the natural and the supernatural. I go back. It's not all supernatural. It's not all natural. It's when both of them, you use both of them together. We live in a natural world, and there's some natural things that we need to do, but then we need to pull the spiritual side in with the natural, and you got an explosive force for God. Look at this in James 1:22. Do not merely, listen to the word and so deceive yourself. Do what it says. Uh-oh. That left a lot of people out right there. Come on. Don't look at me like that. You know it's so. There's a lot of people, they want to listen to the word, but they deceive themselves because they don't do what it says. You know, anyone who listens to the word but does not do what it says is like a man who looks at his face in the mirror. Anybody looked in the mirror today? After looking at himself, he goes away and immediately forgets what he looks like. Now, how many of you, if you were asked, you looked in the mirror, you saw yourself this morning, can you describe yourself? Or have you immediately forgotten what you look like? After looking into the Word of God and seeing the reflection, yourself reflected in the Word of God, have you forgot what you're supposed to look like? We're supposed to look like what the word says that we're to look like. I'm not talking about dress or something like that. I'm talking about love, the actions that we have as Christians, doing what we're supposed to do. But the man who looks intently into the perfect law and gives freedom and continues to do this, not forgetting what he's heard, but doing it, he will be blessed in what he does. You know, a lot of people, they want to receive everything that God said, but they are not ready to, but doing it, keeping yourself under control. Paul said that he kept his body under. If you ever read Smith Wigglesworth, He said in his book, Ever Increasing Faith, he says, my body doesn't tell me what to do. I tell my body what to do. Anybody ever read that in his book? You see, the outside pressures will try to push you out of professing what the Word of God said, or action, or living the Word of God. Some people want their prayers answered, but they're anxious about everything. Philippians 4:6. Anybody understand what I'm trying to say to you tonight? Don't be anxious about anything, but in everything, by prayer and petition, and with thanksgiving, present your request to God, and the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. Some people are uneasy all the time. Well, what about this? What about that? What if this might happen? That might happen. Yeah, all of those things are true. But I'm not moved by what ifs. What if this has happened? What if that happens? What if this? What if I'm moved by what the Word of God said, and the Word of God says that if I stay with the Word, that I will be protected, I will be taken care of, I will be blessed. Hello. You know, some people, they're always worried about something. Now, it's all right to be concerned about things, but worry is different than concern. If you don't know it, go look up at the definitions of them in the dictionary, and you find out what it is. Okay? You see, you become anxious when you're not doing the Word. You see, you're half doing the Word when you're making confession and when you're praying, but you've got to be professing or living in line with the Word of God. A professional lives what he does, right? Well, we need to live who we are. We are the righteousness of God in Christ. Then let's live like we're the righteousness of God in Christ. Hello? I don't have to be afraid. Paul told Timothy that we've not been given the spirit of fear, but a power and a love and a sound mind. 2 Timothy 1:7. I quote that scripture quite a bit. You see, because the enemy wants to come in and tell you something else, try to get you to worry. You see, you've got to profess or take action against that by saying confessing what the Word of God says. You see, not doing what the Word says actually keeps you from possessing what God says belongs to you. Now, as we look at this thing, let's look at Galatians 5:6. Galatians 5:6. And it's talking about here, Paul is talking, for in Christ Jesus, neither circumcision or uncircumcision avails anything, but faith works by through love. Now, what all it's saying is that for in Christ Jesus, there's not Jew or Gentile. That's talking about right there. Notice that faith works with love. There's a lot of people making confessions, but they're not walking in love, so they are not professing. They're confessing, but they're not professing. Now, I'm not talking about being somebody's doormat, but I'm talking about walking in love. You need to study it. I got some material out there in the bookstore if you want to read about it. If you're going to exercise faith in God's word successfully, you got to make sure you're walking in love. If you're walking in love, you don't hold any grudges. I don't care what somebody did. I have people come up to me almost all the time. I mean, not every day, but all the time. I have people coming up saying, forgive me. I said, well, what are we talking about? Well, don't you remember such and such and such and such and such and such? And they start talking about it, and finally it sort of dawns on me. Yeah, I vaguely remember that. But hey, I forgot that a long time ago. I said, I'll forgive you, but I forgive you a long time ago. When the action actually happened is when I forgave them. I mean, being a doer of the word enables you to walk in love. It enables you not to hold a grudge. It enables you to reach in your pocket and bless somebody. Somebody you don't even know. Lynette and I do that occasionally. We don't do it all the time, but occasionally we'll be sitting in a restaurant and we'll see somebody, and sometimes it's somebody we know, sometimes it's somebody we don't know, like that couple we did up in Branson a couple years ago. We just pay for their meal. Come on. That's professing who you are. There's a lot of people that won't. They pray, oh, Lord, give me this, give me that. Bless me here. Bless. And my dad used to tell me, he said, son, don't ever pray for God to bless you. Pray that God will make you a blessing. And if you become a blessing and you bless people, you will be blessed. Come on now. How many of you were here when we did that little deal we did, the VIP deal? How many of you were here when we had the little cars? We'd go through a drive-through and pay for the people behind us, and then just tell them, say, hey, God loves you. You're a very important person, and tell them and give them this little card. We had that. How many of y'all, did that just bless the fire out of you? How many of you just said, that just blessed the fire out of you when you did something like that? Man, it was so great, you know. And we've got a lot of testimonies back. There was one lady that gave us a testimony back, and somebody might remember this. If I'm trying to remember, it's been several years, that she was going through the line and trying to get something for her kids to eat and going to spend her last bit of money that she had. And when she got up there, they had... Some of the people in front of them had paid for their food, and now she had this money that she could use to buy food tomorrow. You know, hey, that's what I'm talking about, the profession part of it. Anybody understand what I'm trying to say tonight? You see, faith people are consistent doers of the word. They're consistently training. People in professions are consistently in training. Some of them have to go, you know, education every year sometimes, continuing education. We need to be people that are continually confessing God's word, professing God's word, or living God's word. Consistent, be consistent. What do I mean when I'm talking about being this way? You know, you have to continually be a doer of the word. Continually. speak the word, confess the word, profess the word, doing the word. See, continually confessing or speaking, professing or doing what the word of God tells you to do. You see, the doer of the word will be blessed. That's what it said right here. Some people want to be blessed without doing. Now I'm fixing to step on some toes, so pull them in tight. There's a lot of people praying for blessing, but they never give an offering. They never give tithe. They never give in an offering. Come on, I mean, it's the truth. I've talked to people a lot before. I haven't been doing this but 63 years, so I talk to a lot of people. And, you know, actually, I was born in the church almost. I was born on Sunday morning. I was in my dad's church the next Sunday, and I've been here ever since. But, you know, people will come up and they say, well, you know, I'm praying for God to bless me, and I'm confessing the word. And I said, well, what are you doing? Well, I'm believing, praying, and believing. I said, did you give an offering? Well, no, I don't. I can't afford to do that. I said, you can't afford not to. I think I've told you this story before, but there's a young man when I was associate pastor of my father-in-law. He came up to me. He said, Ken, he said, I can't ever get ahead. He said, I want to pay my tithes, but there's almost so much going on. And by the time I get to church on Sunday morning, I've already cashed my check, and I've had to use the money to buy this and buy that and buy the other. And he said, you know, and he said, and I'm praying for the blessing. And he said, and I said, well, you're not going to get it until you start doing what the God, word of God says do. He says, how am I going to do that? And I had never thought of this before, but when he said, how am I going to do it? It just came to me. So we were at the church and he's talking to me. I said, how do you get paid? He said, oh, I get paid weekly. And we're talking about 1967, 68, somewhere in there. He was one of these guys. He went to all these small towns that had these clothing store or cloth stores. He sold material because people would buy material and make dresses down there in Texas back there then, especially out in the rural area. Anybody ever seen where the ladies make dresses and shirts and so forth? They don't do that much anymore. In fact, Lynette, when Craig was little there, she made all of his little clothes when he was a baby. I went and I got 52 tithing envelopes. And I got 52 envelopes and put a stamp on them. And then I took the church stamp, Southside Assembly, 1648 Axe Drive, and I stamped every one of those envelopes. And I said, now, and he told me he went to the bank and cashed a check. As soon as he got his check on Friday, he drove to the bank and cashed it. I said, when you come out of the bank with your money, I said, you count your tithes out, you put them in this tithing envelope, and put it in this envelope, seal it, and on your way home, drop it in the mailbox. He said, oh, I don't know what that is. I said, you do it. Just do it. I said, the Lord says to try him and see if it won't work. Anybody ever notice that in there? And so I'm standing at the door a year later. I'm standing at the door, shaking hands, and he come out the door and he had a huge smile on his face and he said, guess what? He said, today my tithe was more than I normally make last year. My tithe a week, he was talking about his average that he made a year before. This has been a whole year. He said, my tithe today was more than my average check for the last 52 weeks. His tithe. He said, you know what? He said, now it didn't happen all at once, but he said, all of a sudden, he said, people started buying and material. And then other people started telling me about another store over here that they're looking for this. And he said, I've just been blessed like everything. He said, I never will not pay my tithes again. I know when I was a kid, my grandpa, he would give me 50 cents. And man, I would run and change that, getting that nickel. And I couldn't wait till Sunday morning, put that nickel in there. I've been doing it all my life. Lynette will tell you, we were associate pastors at a church. And she told me, she said, we've got more disbursements than we've got income this month. And so she told me this after she did it, but she'd sit down to write the bills, because when we got married, I turned that all over to her. I don't know who we owe. I don't know nothing. I don't know nothing about the bank account. She handles it all. If I need money, I ask her for it. One time a guy said, man, you're not much of a man, are you? And I said, well, let's go out here behind the bar and find out how much of a man. Just because I let her handle the finance. In fact, that's what she did when we got married. She's better at it than I am. That's the problem. A lot of these guys, your wife's better at handling the finances than you are. Let her handle them. Oh, that's in my marriage and family class. So I'll back off. The thought came to her, well, I will double up and catch up next month. Well, and then she said no. So she wrote all the checks out. And God is our witness. She's sitting right there. She wrote the tithe check out first. And at the end of the month, we still don't know how it happened. We still had $5 in our bank account and every bill had been paid. But she gave first. See, I'm talking about, that's profession, is living the word. Put action, be in action. You can confess the word all you want to. Oh, Lord, bless us. And we thank you. You said you supply all the needs. But hey, until we're acting or professing what the word says, doing what the word says, you can't expect it. Come on now. Don't look at me like that. I talked long enough. It's 8:00. I got to stop. So we'll stop right there. Did you get anything out of this tonight? You can do all the confessing you want unless you profess and don't expect to get nothing. Okay? Everybody stand, please. Heavenly Father, I just try to remind these people about that there is confession and it's true. But there is profession, that is living the life that you have told us to live. Father, help us to be doers of the word as well as speakers or confessors of the word. We thank you for it in Jesus' name. Amen and amen and amen.